scripture we want to read this morning is a familiar portion of scripture being read possibly in a lot of churches today, and that's Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 5, and then we'll get into another scripture as well that is very familiar. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5 says, "At one of these gatherings, he instructed them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father promised, which you heard about from me. For John used to immerse people in water, but in a few days, you will be immersed in the rock HaKodesh." Now, for those of you that don't speak Hebrew, that's the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. He's saying, this Holy Spirit, this Holy Ghost that I've talked to you about, that I've told you about, I want you to wait in Jerusalem, because in a few days you're going to experience that very thing that John the Baptist talked about when he said, there is one who cometh after me, who's not going to baptize you in water, but he's going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost. Amen. So the disciples are here hanging out in Jerusalem. Jesus had said, don't go home. Hang around. Well, first of all, they needed to hang around anyway. It would have been kind of a useless trip if they went very far, because where were they supposed to be 50 days after the Passover? They were supposed to be in Jerusalem. Shavuot, they were supposed to be there to celebrate. So he says, just hang tight here. Don't go anywhere. It's coming. And then it says in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, the festival of Shavuot arrived, and the believers all gathered together in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from the sky like the roar of a violent wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they saw what looked like tongues of fire, which separated and came to rest upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the rock HaKodesh and began to talk in different languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. That promise that Jesus had made to them, that thing that John the Baptist had, you might say, prophesied to them and said, this one is coming. It happened. It took place. That event began to take place, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost as he came upon them, and they spoke with other tongues. Now, today in the Christian church, we celebrate the Sunday that is known as Pentecost Sunday, which is Greek basically for 50 days. Now, in some churches, they call it Whit Sunday. And a lot of churches around the world, especially within the Protestant world and the Catholic world, they are celebrating Pentecost or Whit Sunday. And as we've mentioned here, this was originally the festival in ancient Israel called the Festival of Weeks or Shavuot. And it commemorated God's giving the Ten Commandments to Moses on Mount Sinai 50 days after the Exodus. But you know, the unfortunate thing is in those churches that are called Pentecostal, some of those churches that I know when I was growing up, because we were Pentecostal, we were better than the rest. And I can honestly say that I felt sorry for some of the Baptist kids and Methodist kids and all that that I went to school with, because they were lost. Because only us Pentecostals were going to heaven. Now, unfortunately, that was some of the things that were almost taught. It was the impressions you got when I was growing up. And I learned it's not because you speak in tongues you're going to heaven. It's because you've got Jesus in your heart. It's because you have that relationship with God that you're going to heaven. But this baptism of the Holy Spirit is something that he said he would give to us. It is that comforter that he promised to us. He said to his disciples, I have to go back to my Father's house, but I am not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to leave you with just some few sayings that I gave you, but I am going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost, and he is going to be your comforter. He's going to be there with you. He's going to be there to guide you. He's going to be there to direct you. But the unfortunate thing is, some of us Pentecostal churches today, we don't really celebrate Pentecost. In fact, some of them have gone, I'll be quite honest with you, some of the Pentecostal churches I've been in the last 15 years, I wondered if I was really in one, you know? But it is where the Spirit of God is where we need to be. Amen. And I'll tell you, anytime you walk into a church, I don't care if it's Baptist, I don't care if it's Methodist, I don't care if it's Episcopalian or Catholic, if the Spirit of God is there. That's what we need, the Spirit of God. If you're in church today and you've not got the presence of God in your midst, you've not got the Spirit of God in your worship, then you are just going through a procedure. You're just going through an act. But we need God's Spirit in us as we worship God. And yes, some people always associated Pentecostal with those people not only who spoke in tongues, but those people that got a little bit emotional sometimes. Run the aisles like Brother Art does once in a while. Oh, they jumped over a few pews. And I've seen some things in my many years of things people did. And I remember one young lady in the church we were going to, she got the urge to run the aisles and she jumped the altar. Now, their altar there wasn't set like the one is here at our church. And she'd jump over it, and she'd jump, and she was doing, except one time her foot caught it. And you wonder, was she doing this in the Spirit of God? Or was she doing it in the flesh? And sometimes people let their emotions get carried away. And I've always heard, though, you know what? Doesn't matter, because there's always going to be enough wet blankets to put out any wildfire. And true, you can find a lot of wet blankets in the church. Can't have that, you know. Well, the Spirit of God is what's important. But I want to take a few moments here and ask a few questions. Because if we really believe in, or do we really believe in and accept this gift that God gave the church on the day of Pentecost? And by the way, we should have put it really in our birthday list today, because you know what today is? It's the birthday of the church. Almost 2,000 years ago, when the day of Pentecost happened, and the Spirit of God descended upon them. They didn't stay in that room all day long, hiding themselves and just saying, well, we're just going to sit here and not share this blessing. But they left the building, and they went out on the street, and they began to preach, and they began to minister to people, and they continued to speak in tongues. And some looked around and said, they're drunk. And it's still in the morning. They're drunk. And Peter said those famous words, these men are not drunken as you suppose. And he began to preach to them. 3,000 people got saved. What a way to start the church off. But a lot of people don't believe that that's for today. They say, well, that was okay back in Bible times, but we don't need that anymore. Unfortunately, we have decided there's a lot of things of God that we don't need anymore. Mary reminded me about a week ago of an old chorus, and I had an awful hard time finding it. I went through all my old song books and couldn't find it, and I could remember the words and didn't really remember any verses, but I finally found the chorus, and it's called, Is He Satisfied? And it goes something like this. Is he satisfied? Is he satisfied? Is he satisfied with me? Have I done my best? Have I stood the test? Is he satisfied with me? Now, I know that's not the world's greatest singing there, but that's the question. Is he satisfied with us? But not just us. Don't even worry about, is he satisfied with your neighbor? Is he satisfied with me? Have we really done our best? Think about it. Have I done my best? God does not require that you do what is required maybe of someone else. He just requires that you do the best that you can do. Each of us is a separate individual. Those here in this building today, no two of us are alike. I don't even care if you're a member of the same family. No two of you are alike. And anyone that's listening to me, wherever you may be, you may have similarities to somebody else, but you're not exactly alike. We're all different individuals. And we all have different giftings that God has gifted us with, abilities to do certain things. And all he requires of us is to do the best with what he has given us to work with. So some people who think, well, I can't do it because I can't be like so-and-so. God never asked you to be like so-and-so. He never asked you to go out and be another whoever. He said, go out and be what I have called you to be. And when you go and be what God called you to be, then and you do your best at it, then you will satisfy God. Because that's all he's asking of you. Be what he called you to be. Now, are we letting things of the world and of life come between us and our service to God? And it's unfortunate, but we do sometimes. We let what happens on our job sometimes interfere with our service to God. Sometimes we let what happens in our personal life come between us and God. And I think probably everyone that's listening to me is at some point in their life, unless you're really young, had things that have happened to you that could have very easily driven a wedge between you and God. I've had some people say some terrible things about me in church. And it would have been easy to say, okay, I wash my hands of it, I'm out of here. But I'm still here. These many years later, in some cases. Because I am not here, and God did not call me, and God does not expect of me to put man first. Mm-hmm. He expects me to put him first. And when I put him first, he'll work out all these other details and all these other things. Does that mean that if we're really serving God that we should never have any problems? Absolutely not. I've got news for you. The more you try to serve God and the harder you try to serve God, the more the devil's probably going to throw at you. Because if you're not doing anything for God, he'll let you go. Because he says, well, he's secretly on my payroll. I mean, he's not winning anybody over. He's not witnessing to anybody. He's not really doing anything. Just let him go. I'll ignore him. I'll focus on those people that are out there doing their best to serve God. Because they're the ones I want to take down. And I know some people, well, man, if I listen to that, maybe I don't want to have any problems in my life. Maybe I just better be half-hearted and all that. But God said those that are lukewarm, he's going to spew out of his mouth. So you better watch out there. Have I done my best? Have I stood the test? Well, as I was talking about, we go through testing. We go through trials. There are a lot of people who think that, well, you know, I've gone through all these things. And I've heard of several people that have made this particular statement. We happened to be watching a Bill Gaither program a couple of weeks ago, and he was interviewing some group. I don't recall for sure who it was right at the moment, but he mentioned that Mother Teresa had made this statement. If somebody would ask her when she gets to heaven, what was one of the first things she's going to do? And she said, well, I'm going to say, Jesus, you've got some explaining to do. And I've heard of other people saying that, and I don't know if Mother Teresa even said that. But there are people who feel that when they get to heaven, Jesus has got some explaining to do. You ever run into anybody like that? Yeah? Well, I got news for you. He doesn't have to explain anything. Especially to you. And I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're the biggest shot preacher in the world. He don't have to explain anything to you. We're going to have to explain a few things to him. In fact, you hear people talk about some of the things they're going to do when they get to heaven. And I don't think any of us really know exactly what we'll do the first moment we're in heaven. We can think about it and we can speculate. And we all talk about, or at least a lot of people talk about, the first thing they want to do is, as Larry motioned there, we want to feel prostrate at the feet of Jesus. We want to worship him. And that's probably really one of the first things we'll do. But there's going to be, at some point there, there's going to be some communication between you and him. Only makes sense, doesn't it? At some point, you're going to speak, he's going to speak. But what should you expect to hear from him? I'll tell you, there's just a few simple words that I want to hear him say. Just a few words. What I want to hear him say is, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't want to hear him say, well, Ken, I wasn't even sure you were going to make it. Man, Ken, you got no skin left on your teeth anymore because you got here by that. And there are some people, that's how they're hoping to get there. I don't know. I went to the dentist the other day to get my teeth cleaned, and she didn't find any skin on my teeth, so I'd be in big trouble. And so would the rest of you, especially if you got dentures. You know? But when I get there, yes, probably the first thing I'll do is fall at the feet of Jesus. But I want the first words to come from him, well done. You did your best. Will we in this life do everything that God calls us to do and asks us to do? I'll be honest, I seriously doubt it. And I know that he does not expect certain things of us, but he does expect us to do our best and to try our hardest and live for him at the best of our ability. And when we do that, he will be satisfied with us. So yes, you can go through some testings. You can go through some trials. I've got news. Even the best have gone through trials. Let's look at one who God said was a man after his own heart. In Acts chapter 13, verse 22, and it says this, and when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Now let's face it, if anybody should have some bragging rights there, David should have had some, because God said, this is a man after my own heart. In In fact, if you go back into the book of Samuel, where Samuel is sent to anoint David to replace Saul, God has spoken to Samuel, says, I'm going to find a man after my own heart. And he sent him out to anoint this little shepherd boy to be king over Israel. Did it all happen right away? No. David went through some trials. He went through some testings. He had to kill Goliath. He had to be chased and hide out from his father-in-law. I don't know if anybody here has ever had father-in-law problems. I was very fortunate. I never had father-in-law problems. But I do know there's certain things that if I'd have done, I'd have had father-in-law problems. And David had some father-in-law problems because his father-in-law wanted to kill him. And he could have probably sat there and said, oh, woe is me. God, you sent Samuel to anoint me king over Israel, and now Saul, who's the king, and my father-in-law wants to kill me. Boo-hoo-hoo-hoo. And that's part of the problem I think we as Christians sometimes face, is we'd rather boo-hoo-hoo and say, God, how are we going to make this through? What are we going to do? How are we going to get through this thing? You know, some things we are not going to get through on our own. We've got to depend upon God to help us get through them. But if we put our faith, our trust, and our hope in Him, He will get us through. Amen. David, man after God's own heart. And yet he had some horrible failures, including murder. Oh, he didn't do the deed himself. He hired a hitman, basically, by sending the guy out to the front line so he knew he'd get killed, so he could have his wife to cover up his sin. That's a pretty bad failure. Or how about a disciple who swore to defend Jesus even to the death? John 13:37, Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. And yet, just a short time later, and we read in Matthew 26:74, then he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. He said, Jesus, I'll defend you to the death. I'll lay down my life for you. He even grabbed the soldier's sword, cut the priest's servant's ear off and all this stuff in the garden there. And now just hours later, I don't know that man. I never saw that man before in my life. You must have me confused with somebody that cares. You must have me confused with somebody else. But the Bible says Jesus had already told him this was going to happen. And that before the rooster crowed three times, he would deny him three times. And when that happened, Peter realized, I have blown it. Just as David realized, I have blown it. And David suffered some consequences of the things that he did. And some hurts in his life that he may not have gotten over completely. But he knew also that when the time came that he was convicted of his sin and what he had done, to get right with God and to lay it out before God and say, God, forgive me. Just hours earlier, another disciple by the name of Judas had led the soldiers to find Jesus in the garden. I don't believe Judas had to hang himself. I don't believe Judas had to follow the path he continued to follow. I believe even after all of this had taken place, Judas could have cried out and said, God, I messed up. Forgive me. He could have done that, and when we get to heaven, we'd see him sitting there. But he chose not to. Have I done my best? Have I stood the test? And Mark, and I mentioned this scripture earlier, where John the Baptist said, I have immersed you in water, but he will immerse you in the rock, HaKodesh, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Then in John 14:26, Jesus speaking says, but the counselor, the rock, HaKodesh, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything. That is, he will remind you of everything that I have said to you. You know, some people, especially the older you get, start to have a little problem with your memory. Anybody here have a problem with their memory besides me and a few others that have raised their hand? You know, sometimes it's a horrible feeling when you think about somebody and you're looking at them. I know their name, but it's just not registering, you know. And we all go through things like that. I don't care how old you are. Sometimes you forget stuff. But he said, when you get in a tight spot and you need to know something, I'm going to bring it back to your memory. What things you've learned, things that you've been taught, I'll bring these things back. Do we remember everything we've ever read into the scripture? Do we remember every sermon we've ever heard? Do we remember every teaching we've ever had? No. But those parts of that, if there's something that was said that we heard 20 years ago, and we need to know it now, the Holy Spirit can bring it back to us. Amen. He can refresh our memory. We need to depend upon the Holy Ghost. Sometimes we depend too much upon ourselves. I didn't set out to be the world's greatest preacher. And so far I've accomplished what I didn't set out to do. And that will be the way with most people. But you know what? If you just do what he called you to do, he'll help you. He'll be there. As I study for a message and I type out my notes and get things together to help refresh my memory as I'm going through the message and how the direction of the message should flow, I also realize that I have to depend upon the Holy Ghost to call things back to my recollection and back to my memory that he spoke to me, because many times after I've already finalized my notes and printed them out, he still speaks to me about some things that he once said in the message or things that he once brought out. And I have to depend upon the Holy Spirit then to bring those things to my recollection and to my memory. And when you do that, you put your faith, your trust in God, and the Holy Spirit will begin to work in your life and will begin to bring these things out. You'll do okay. And I know some here are studying for ministry, and that's the thing. You've got to put your trust and your confidence in God and let the Holy Spirit work through you and let him bring to your remembrance those things that you need to know. And that applies not only to those that are studying for ministry, but for those in their everyday Christian walk. You need to let God bring out in your life through the Holy Ghost the things that you need to know and to do. There are times, maybe on your job, you run into an obstacle. You think, how am I going to do this? What do I need to do? Seems to me like I should know how to fix this or whatever. Even on your job, the Holy Ghost can bring back to your recollection the things that you need to know to do it. Because you are not only there doing your best for God, but he expects us too, I believe, to do our best for our employer, for all of those that are around us, to do our best at whatever we're doing, wherever we're at. Do your best for God, because guess what? You're God's representative. In the Assemblies of God, when I was growing up, the youth group was known as Christ Ambassadors. I don't know what they're known as today. Maybe still the same thing. But that's an important thing to know, that if you're a child of God, if you're a born-again Christian, he dwells in your heart and you have a relationship with him. You are his ambassador. Amen. Your Father is the King of the universe. Stop to think about that. Yes, you had a natural father here on earth, but you have a heavenly Father who is King of the universe, creator of all things. And you're here on planet earth right now, but you're here on planet earth and you are his ambassador. You're an ambassador of the King of the universe. I don't care about all these other hot shots out there. You are representing the most powerful person in all of creation. Amen. You've got an important job to do, and do it well. Luke 12, 11 through 12, and this kind of goes back to what we were just saying. When they bring you before the synagogues and ruling powers and the authorities, don't worry about how you will defend yourself or what you will say. Because when the time comes, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Ghost, will teach you what you need to say. I got news for you. There's sometimes you don't need to try to rehearse what you're going to have to say in front of some people. You've got to depend upon God. And if you let God speak the words through you, it'll come out okay, but sometimes we can mess up and say the wrong thing. We got to put our trust and our confidence in God. Now, for those of you that are in school, don't say, well, okay, I'll just depend upon the Holy Ghost and I won't study for my classes, because I got news. That ain't going to work. But if you've studied and you've done the best you can in your class, you can depend upon God to help you through your classes. But if you haven't studied, well, you're on your own. I didn't hear too many amens from that one, but yeah. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Ruach HaKodesh comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and Yehuda and Shimron, and indeed to the all or to the ends of the earth. We are to be his witnesses. We are his ambassadors. And we do it through the power of the Holy Ghost. Today, we need everything that God has for us. We need Pentecost to be replayed in our lives on a daily basis. We need that outpouring of the Holy Ghost in our lives every day. And when we have that experience with God in our life every day, that Pentecost in our life every day, it doesn't matter what the world throws at us. It doesn't matter what the powers of hell throw at us. We're going to be okay. Because we're in God's hands. And guess what? He's got it under control. We may not have things under control, but God's got it under control. And when we depend upon God, then we'll have it under control. Not because of what we've done, but because of who he is and what he is in our lives. And maybe you're listening to me today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You've never had that personal relationship. You've never invited him to come into your heart. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible tells us. Today is the day that you can come and say, Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I give you my heart. I give you my life. We have a young couple here in our church that's fixing to get married in a couple of months, and they're going to make some vows, and they're going to say, I give myself to you, basically. I give you my heart. I give you my life. And they're going to make promises and vows to one another. We need to make a promise to God. We need to make a vow to God. God, come into my heart. I give my life to you. And when we do, he will come into our heart. He will come into our life. And then we need that outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that infilling of the Holy Spirit that he talked about in the book of Acts there in our life, to guide us, to direct us. Some people said, well, you know, just let your conscience be your guide. I got news. Sometimes we don't listen to our conscience. Conscience, take a back seat. But if we let the Holy Ghost move in our life, and we listen to what the Holy Ghost says, we're not going to go wrong. Because some people get a seared conscience and They don't even really seem to know right from wrong anymore. But the Holy Ghost can direct us. We need Him in our life. And if you're one of those that's listening to me today and you've not accepted Jesus, I invite you to do so right now. Just call out to Him and ask Him then for that infilling that He promised on the day of Pentecost, that He promised in the scriptures that I've quoted to come into your heart with that infilling of the Holy Ghost, that He will be your comforter, that He will be your guide. Father, right now, as we close this message, I just pray, Father, you speak to hearts wherever they may be, that this message goes forth. And Father, that through the word that has been given today, lives would be changed. And Father, you might speak to that one who has been going through a hard time, doesn't really know what to do. But Father, if they give their life to Jesus Christ, Father, you can cause them to be a light unto the world that's around them. And Father, right now, as this word goes out, Father, I just really believe within my spirit right now, it's going to be speaking to somebody in particular, Father, that you have a plan for, that you have a work for, if they'll only give their life to you. And I just pray, Father, for them right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.